Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 24th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Wayne Splawn, our pastor. I thought it would be a good time for him to share with us about his mission trip with the student ministry to South Africa. So after he reads God's Word for us, we'll take some time to talk through his trip and the wonderful things that God is doing in our church. But first, he'll read God's Word for us. Thank you, Wayne, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mary. Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." The second reading is Psalm 13. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Thank you, Wayne, for joining the podcast today and for reading for us. First of all, let's just talk about one of the passages. Is there anything that you would want to comment on before we talk about South Africa?
Yeah, the passage from Exodus 24 stood out to me. As I read about Moses confirming the covenant with the people, you can't help but notice that he uses blood to confirm the covenant. And he sprinkles blood on the altar and he sprinkles blood on the people. And there's a lot of speculation, perhaps, or thoughts about the importance of blood being used in covenant ceremonies. But as I read this, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I can't help but think about the blood of the new covenant. That every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we think about Christ and his body broken for us and for our sins, and his blood shed for us and our salvation. And Jesus would identify his blood as blood of the new covenant. When you read Exodus 24, you hear the people say, "Yes, we will do these things." And you can't help but read that and think, "Oof, I'm not sure that you know what you're committing to." And I know in my own life and my own heart how I have failed over and over again to faithfully follow what Jesus calls me to do and be in the world. And I'm so grateful to live in light of his life, death, and resurrection, that he became the obedient person in my place, that his blood was shed for me and for my salvation, and that I live in eternal and abundant life through faith in him, not because of what I'm going to do to live up to my part of the bargain, but because he has done it perfectly for me. And so I read this passage and I just take great comfort and joy in recognizing that Jesus is the one who secured my salvation, that ultimately it's his blood that seals the covenant with the Father. And so that's the thing that I took away as I was reading this passage.
Thank you. This week, different staff members are helping by reading a day or two on the podcast. I thought it was a perfect intersection with talking with you because you went to South Africa with the student ministry a couple of weeks ago. First, let's back up and talk about why South Africa is a special country for you.
Yeah, it's interesting to look back on your life and see the way that the Lord uses past experiences to shape you as a person, and then how often those past experiences come back in different and exciting ways in your life in the future. So I first went to South Africa in 2001 as a member of the International Mission Board. My program was called the International Service Corps. I was there for 18 months and had never really thought much about South Africa before I went to the Missionary Learning Center in Richmond, Virginia, and started the process of short-term service with the International Mission Board. And I remember looking through this large book of jobs, possibilities of jobs around the world, and looking for opportunities for my skill set, my degree, to line up with needs on the field, and prayerful that the Lord put me in the right place. And so it ended up being that Cape Town, South Africa was the place that the Lord led me. And I moved there in 2001, never having spent much time at all out of the country other than visiting you in Mexico. And the Lord went before me, and it was just a sweet season of ministry. I lived closer to downtown Cape Town. I was not involved in ministry as much out over the mountain in Fishhook, where King of Kings Baptist Church is located. But I did visit there. I did have friends and colleagues in that church. And then you fast forward all these years later, I guess 24 years later, going back and going with my son, it was just a really rewarding and meaningful experience to me. Our church and several other churches in the Birmingham area over the years developed a relationship with Living Hope Ministries there in Cape Town that was birthed out of King of Kings Baptist Church. I had the opportunity to lead several student ministry teams in my time as a student minister, took a little bit of a break, and then got to go back on this trip with Webb. And so have a long history with that ministry and with that church, and grateful for the way the Lord used that experience in the past and then has continued to use that experience now in ministry here at Mount Brook Baptist.
How was this year's trip structured?
Well, like we do many times when we take this trip, we get there on the weekend and we begin with an orientation. So we met with Arville Thomas, who is one of the founders of Living Hope Ministries, and we had a chance to hear about the work of Living Hope, had to get an overview of what we'd be doing that week. And then you really have an opportunity, because it's the weekend there and they do things on the weekend just like we would here, to do more sightseeing and fun activities. We go to worship on Sunday morning at King of Kings Baptist, which is always a wonderful and moving experience for me. And then we really start ministry in earnest on Monday. Our primary focus for ministry this year was working with holiday clubs in a township called Masapumulele. Lots of folks refer to it as Masi for short. It is a township located most closely to King of Kings Baptist Church. And so there are staff members of Living Hope that work in Masi all the time. And when school is in session, they work with the kids after school. And we were there as a part of during their three-week holiday break. And so we participated in their kids' clubs that were happening all day. And so we would go out to Masi, and we really were a support and encouragement to the staff who were there doing the ministry year-round. And so we would go early in the morning. We would have a devotion with them. We would participate in the club. We would take a lunch break. And as the day went on, we would get different groups of kids. We started out with the youngest of them, and we would finish up in late afternoon with the teenagers in Masi. And we did that Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday, we had a chance to participate in some of the other ministries that Living Hope offers. And one of the things that I like about, and I'm also challenged by when I go to Cape Town, is that Living Hope does a little bit of everything. That as they have sensed needs around them, they have prayed for the Lord to give them opportunities to meet those needs in Jesus' name. So they have a campus called their Capri campus, which is kind of the headquarters. They have a healthcare facility there. So we had the opportunity to go and visit patients who are receiving treatment at their healthcare facility. Later that morning, members of our team participated in an agricultural aspect of their ministry. So they are doing their best to equip people with skills for work to sustain themselves. And so part of that is an agricultural ministry that our team worked in. And then after lunch, we went to a substance abuse recovery center. And we played games with and interacted with folks who were going through the substance abuse recovery program. And so it really was a varied week of ministry. Most of our time was in the township with the children. But then that Friday was a good opportunity for us to see the breadth of the work that Living Hope does in the name of Jesus.
If you had to pick a favorite part of the work, what was it?
I think my favorite part of the work was on Friday afternoon working in the Substance Abuse Recovery Center. Part of that is that I was able to minister in English more easily. In the township, it's more difficult as an English speaker to be actively engaged in proclaiming the word or offering a prayer or encouraging those in their faith. And so it was an easier opportunity for me to use my past experiences and my story to engage and interact with people who are in the substance abuse recovery program. And one of the exercises that I was involved in is one that you've mentioned on this podcast of gratitude. And so it's a game or an experience that I think Joel and Heather Brown had used in past years at this same substance abuse recovery center, where we go around and each of us, those who are volunteers like our team members or those who are going through the program, and we share things that we're grateful for. There's a person that we're grateful for, a place that we're grateful for, a memory or an experience that we're grateful for. And it was just really wonderful to go around the room and hear people talk about the things that they're grateful for and the ways in which they had seen the Lord's hand at work in their lives. And that doesn't matter if you are from America or if you are from South Africa, that common experience of acknowledging the Lord's goodness and grace in our lives brings us a sense of joy, and it brings us a sense of hope and optimism for the future. And so I really enjoyed my time there engaging with the people who were in the process of recovery and coming alongside those who are staff members who are there every day to encourage and support them.
Speaking of gratitude, you guys got to go to a very beautiful space. In your time in South Africa, what was one of your favorite fun excursions?
On this last trip, I did something that I had never had the opportunity to do before. I guess I just didn't take the opportunity before. We went down to Lion's Head. It is a little peak that's close to Table Mountain, which would be kind of the iconic geographical feature of Cape Town. And we were able to hike up Lion's Head and see the sunrise. So we got up early on that Saturday morning. We drove down. We were there and on the trail before the sun came up. It was really just a moving and wonderful experience to hike up in the dark. We got to the top of the Lion's Head Peak before most people were there. So I had a chance just to sit there in the silence, look at the beauty of the sky, look at the beauty of the downtown lights, and over time, see the sun come up. And so really grateful for that as a fun experience we were able to have and enjoy the beauty of Cape Town. If you ever have a chance to go to Cape Town, you will find that it is one of the most beautiful places naturally that I think you could ever hope to go.
As most of the people who listened to the podcast heard, there was quite a lot of sickness on the trip. What did God teach you even in the midst of that suffering?
I think just patience and perspective. You know, I think we probably picked up a bug on the flight over, and it made its way through about half the team. But it was a 24-hour condition, so it went away pretty quickly, and we were able to resume our efforts on the trip, so it didn't in any way keep us from the mission to which we had been called in that place. I think I was also just reminded of the abundance of health care that we have here in the United States, and like a lot of things that I learned while I was there, a lot of gratitude for the things that I sometimes take for granted here living in a place like Birmingham.
One story that you told me has continued to impact me about your trip to Burger King. Would you share that one?
It was actually Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, my bad. Not Burger King.
We went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we went quite honestly, for some self-serving purposes initially, that, you know, all the food there is good and similar, but it's all just a little bit different. And so rather than eat the sandwiches, we decided that we would go out for lunch one day. And we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken that was located really close to our ministry site. And as a way to be an encouragement to the ladies who were there all the time, we invited them to go with us. And so something that we think would be relatively insignificant experience to go to somewhere like Kentucky Fried Chicken and have lunch was an incredible experience for them. And the joy that they expressed as we drove out of the township, the excitement that they had as we went to really a fast food restaurant, was convicting for me. That I take things for granted here in Birmingham, and because I'm not as grateful as I should be, I don't experience the awe and the wonder of God's kindness and His lavish generosity in my life as I should. And so, as is often the case, I need my priorities to be recalibrated more closely to the Lord's priorities. And so that was an experience that, as I continue to reflect on it, brought me a certain amount of conviction over the things that I take for granted, the way that I steward the resources that I've been entrusted with by the Lord, and asking the Lord to kind of help recalibrate me more to become a person who is grateful for things that I would call quote-unquote small things, but that many people in the world would recognize as a lavish thing.
How can we be praying for the students in our student ministry and also for our mission partner, Living Hope?
As I was with the students, I was reminded of how different their experience growing up is from the one that I had. And it's not that my experience growing up is better than the experience they have, or that theirs is better than the one that I had. It's just different. And as I notice some of the things that they have to wrestle with as students, and the way that if they're not careful, the distractions are coming at them all the time. And so I think I would encourage you just to pray for them to develop an attentive heart to the Lord, to continue to grow in their desire for and ability to read Scripture consistently. That was something that we talked about as an entire team, our desire to know the Lord better as He reveals Himself to us through His Word. And so we have so many talented and bright and wonderful students who are involved in our student ministry. And my heart for them is they continue to grow in depth in their relationship with the Lord, that experiences like this trip would be catalysts that the Lord uses to continue to give them a sense of calling in ministry, whether they're going to a college campus soon, whether they're entering their senior year or junior year at the high school, wherever they are in that journey, that the Lord would continue to give them an opportunity to block out distractions and to be present to Him and to grow in their faith and to sense this call upon their lives, that with all the things that God's blessed them with, they might use it to further His kingdom.
And then how can we pray for Living Hope?
Living Hope faces challenges that lots of ministries like theirs continues to face, just for resources, for both people resources and financial resources to pursue the mission that God has given them wholeheartedly and without abandon. They are a remarkable organization. They do everything they can think to do to help people experience salvation through faith in Jesus and more of the abundant life He would have for them to know. And like a lot of organizations, part of their challenge is acquiring and sustaining the resources necessary for such a vast ministry that they've established over time.
And then would you just speak a word about Joel and his leadership of the team?
Yes, Joel did a phenomenal job. I really went on this trip with the opportunity to yes, be a staff member, but primarily to be a parent and a team member. And Joel had put so much effort and planning and organizational skills into getting us ready for the trip. And so I really appreciate him. And it was so encouraging to see his flexibility as we started rolling with the sickness that hit us early on. And Joel just really displayed a heart for the kids to come alongside them and help them as they were healing. Just really, you know Joel's, I guess, fairly new father. And you could see those characteristics of his heart for obviously not his biological children, but for children who've been placed in his care. And so really grateful for his efforts to roll with what he was dealt that he wasn't prepared for and to be a faithful leader. He also did a really great job of helping us debrief our experience at the end of the trip, to think about the things that we had learned, the ways that God was calling us to be more faithful and to transition back to our normal lives here in Birmingham in a way that we would take those lessons that we've learned and ask the Lord to help us change in the way that he would have us change here in Birmingham.
Thank you, Wayne, for reading God's word for us and for telling us about the trip to South Africa. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, I would be happy to. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. We thank you for Jesus, who is our faithful high priest, who is also our sacrifice, who has poured out his blood that we might have a new covenant relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow in our value and love and appreciation of Jesus and all we have in him, that we might more faithfully follow you and help others experience that same life that we have in Jesus. Lord, I pray for our ministry partner, Living Hope. I pray for their leadership, that you would continue to give them wisdom and discernment as they sense the needs of those around them and they seek to be faithful to meet those needs in Jesus' name. And I pray specifically for any resources that they may need. If it is personnel, if it's financial resources, if it is buildings or spaces in which to do ministry, that you would go before them and that you would provide those resources they need so that the gospel may continue to go forward in word and in deed. We love you and we are so grateful for your great love for us in Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen.